Michigan League for Human Services President and CEO, Gilda Jacobs. Gilda, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Tony.
I know you got your coffee right there.
I do, right here.
All right, well, that's a good thing. There have been restrictions on food assistance, and you believe that these restrictions, if continued, will hurt Michigan's economic recovery. Tell us about it.
Well, there is a new directive from the department that as of October the 1st, that there will be an asset maximum of $5,000 for all households that receive food assistance. This is a shift from income to assets, and this is something that is very, very concerning to us. Over 200,000 people, cases, so there's really more than just individuals, because you've got to throw kids into this mixture too, are at risk of losing their food assistance benefits in our state at a time when we have just more and more unemployment, more uncertainty, low-wage jobs, and you know there is this myth out there that the nonprofit world has the resources to pick up the pieces from something as drastic as this, and that's just not true. It just doesn't exist.
Aren't there a lot of church and other charity organizations who've been pitching in with these types of challenges?
Yeah, sure, Tony. Everybody's trying to pitch in the best that they can, but the resources in the faith community are extremely limited, and many of them are operating, as best as they can right now. So we've been in touch with the Food Bank Council. We've been in touch with food pantries, food banks. They are extremely concerned that they are not going to have the capacity to handle this.
Randy Heckman, who is running for United States Senator, believes that the charities and that the church should handle these types of issues, no matter how challenging. It's not the place of government. How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, if he can figure out a way for the churches to raise enough money in order to do this, great. I just don't think that that's going to happen. I have talked with members of the faith community. They don't have the financial resources to do this. Their parishioners are hurting as well. And, you know, money is not made magically. It is not manna that comes down from heaven, as much as we would like it to be. It just doesn't exist.
But, you know, Gilda, and you and I talk about this quite a bit, and I'm not on one side or the other, but the question is always raised that how much is it the responsibility of government, especially in fiscally trying times, to fund these programs?
Well, I think that is, you really went, you know, directly to the problem. They are financially troubling times. And that is a time for government to be concerned about the health, safety, and welfare of their constituencies. I think that's exactly what government ought to be doing. We want to be in a position where we want to get people transitioned off of these kinds of programs. But putting in an asset test, especially like for newly unemployed people, and we have tens of thousands of those folks in our state, instead of trying to help and assist people out of poverty, it could in fact be plunging more people, you know, into poverty or into situations where they're not going to be economically sustainable. You know, we tell people as part of financial counseling to make them be able to support themselves, you know, put some money into put money into savings, put money into a certificate of deposit, save, have enough, have a little bit of a nest egg, so that if something happens, if you have a major medical catastrophe in your life, that you have an ability to address that. So what we're doing with this asset test is just the opposite. You know, we're saying if you can only have up to $5,000, $5,000 can barely pay for you to go into an emergency room and have a bone set. If you don't have medical insurance and one of your kids needs that kind of help.
Okay, from your perspective, where do we get the money to pay for these?
First of all, the money is already there. We in Michigan, all of the money that we get from food assistance comes from the federal government. It is not coming out of any state money. So we're not saving any state dollars. This is really being driven by some ideological philosophy that my dog agrees. You can hear my an ideological philosophy that really is not based on budgeting issues in our state. So particularly at a time when our state is so so troubled and struggling so much, why would we take money that is already out there and take it away from people? It is counterintuitive to me.
Well, most states, 30, and this is according to information that I received from your office, have moved to eliminate asset tests for food benefits, an option allowed under federal rules in order to help their families survive the economic turmoil of losing a job or lacking full-time work. So many states seem to be responding the way Michigan has.
30 states do not have asset tests for food assistance, and 36 states exempt vehicles altogether. The vehicle thing is really quite an interesting, you know, part of this, because according to this new directive, this new policy, that the cumulative fair market value of your cars has to be at or below $15,000. So if somebody has a car that's sort of crash safe, perhaps bigger, and in good shape, they may be forced to sell that vehicle in order to get under that $15,000 maximum, and then risk having one, transportation to and from work, reliable transportation, or reliable transportation to get their kids to school. So, you know, and then what if they're only on food assistance, hopefully for a short time, because then they're able to transition into a job? Well, you know, then they've gotten rid of their car. And this also, suggests that people should be leasing instead of buying cars, and I'm not sure that's, you know, necessarily the way to go either.
Well, Gelda, it would appear that these rules have been put in place because there is a vibe out there that too many people are taking advantage of the system.
And Tony, you and I have had this conversation. This is a myth. This is something that I think people like to go when they're running for office, talk about how they've rooted out fraud and abuse. The issue is not fraud and abuse with these concepts that you and I have been talking about, these issues over the last several months. Is there fraud and abuse in probably every program? Yes, but it is very minimal. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, and that's what this does. I honestly think that this whole policy was created because there was a guy who won a lottery in Michigan, and he was receiving food assistance. Well, that's wrong. So go, you know, change the policy to make lottery winnings income, which is, you know, having an income test is fine. This is an asset test that we're talking about, and solve the lottery winning problem, but don't put 220,000 cases at risk in Michigan when we can't afford to hurt people anymore in this state.
Finally, before we let you go, October 1, what's going to happen, who's it going to affect, and what needs to be done to stop this
action? October 1, two things are going to happen. One, the 48-month hard cap on cash assistance. That train is going down the road. And then October 1st, this asset test goes into effect. We are trying to message with the administration to suspend this asset test, to, you know, not do this, that we think this is the wrong policy at the wrong time. So I think what we can do is try to message to our governor, to DHS, and to our legislators that this is an extreme measure that we don't need to be taking in Michigan.
Gelda Jacobs is the Michigan League for Human Services president and CEO. As always, Gelda, thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.